The Red for Ed movement made a major statement at the Arizona Capitol this year, both before and during their six-day work stoppage. The galleries in both the State House and Senate were full of teachers in red shirts, watching and learning about the budget and legislative processes. But how much will that newfound knowledge impact future legislatures or this fall's elections? With me to talk about that are Marilyn Rodriguez, co-founder and partner at Creosote Partners, and Gibson McKay, president of Sherpa Public Affairs. And Marilyn, let me start with you. What do you think the lasting impact of the Red for Ed movement and having teachers in the galleries and talking to their legislators will be?
Right. Well, you definitely had more people at the legislature than I think anybody was used to in a long time. I don't think we've seen a movement like that since SB 1070, where every seat was filled, right? And you had individuals who I think are pretty representative of the population, Republican, Democrat, Independent, everywhere in between, paying attention. And things that were normalized, at least for me, and I know, Gib, we are down there every day, they would audibly gasp at, right? So short term, they killed some bills. The president of the Senate had a voucher bill that the House refused to vote on because it was just too controversial. And you had a number of people who are engaged citizens, engaged voters, paying attention. And then going into the election, I mean, I really do. It's a million years in election years between now and November. So my hope is that that continues to be the case, that people continue, teachers continue to stay engaged.
Gibson, what do you think?
I think Marilyn's absolutely right. This was a crowd where lines were coming out the doors as security guards were, there's always security guards there. It wasn't one of those things, but, you know, you have to go through metal detectors and that kind of thing, which is pretty normal down there. And so you have these huge lines. You have, you know, at points in time, probably 30 or 40,000 red shirts down there. It was noticed. I mean, I was around on SB 1070, and this was definitely bigger than 1070. And what was most interesting to me is how flat-footed I think a lot of our electeds were in relation to this. I mean, I think the outcry, whether you agree with it or not, was louder than what they were used to. And I think it did make a difference.
Well, it's interesting that both of you talked about the crowds down there, because usually, and you both alluded to this, that especially on budget night, you know, they do it at like midnight or 2 a.m. or something like that. There's almost never anybody in the gallery. This
year,
except
for me.
Except for the two of you probably, and those reporters who are stuck there as well. Yeah. This year, it was like the hottest ticket in town for those few days was in the gallery at the House and Senate. Do you think that lawmakers maybe will remember that next year when they're in session, even if there aren't, you know, packed galleries? Or do they need to have people down there putting pressure on them in the moment to, you know, make the kinds of decisions that their constituents might want them to make?
I think it's the latter. I really do. I mean, the legislative memory is short. You have an election coming up where all 90 seats are up for grabs. It's entirely possible that the face of next year's legislature is completely different. I certainly hope it is. And even if it isn't, you respond in kind to the pressure that is applied at the time. These lawmakers, no matter what their background is, are asked to review over 1,000 bills in a very short period of time, and they're relying on the people around them to help guide them. So if you're not down there, and that's, you know, that's Gib and I's trade, but we're down there. We can be down there every Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, when people are at work, to put the pressure on. So, I mean, what teachers did was engage in citizen lobbying. They did what we do, but they did it by the thousands. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I think the other thing that you can't overestimate is they put a bit of a human face on this, you know? I mean, if nothing else, being able to educate themselves is important. You know, going through the process of, you know, the committee work and the appropriations committee and going into rules and all these kind of things that we're used to all the time. I mean, that's part of the process. And those are in place so you don't, you know, do these things in secret overnight or whatever. And I think they thought there was this, like, it was a delay tactic. It's like, no, this is part of the Constitution. You have to go to a hearing, you know. And so it's interesting from that standpoint.
Yeah, and in speaking to teachers, they learned quite a bit. And it's stuff that Gib and I, we're used to. It's very normalized for us. For the teachers, though, and I think this can be extrapolated to, you know, the average Arizonan, that was a shock. And the teachers, I think the thing that I kept hearing from them, the sentiment was, my eyes are open. Mm-hmm. I had no idea.
So taking that, knowing now that teachers who by nature are people who like to teach other people stuff that they know, now that all these teachers understand to some extent the legislative process, they understand committee hearings, and they understand what committee of the whole is and the amendment process and all that stuff, what impact do either of you think that might have next year, understanding that they can't be down there every day like they were during the walkout, but given the fact that, you know, they say they're going to be more engaged, will that matter, Gibson, next legislative session, do you think?
I think it does. I mean, I think let's see if it translates. You know, I think they got a lot of what they wanted, and good for them. But it's hard to sustain. And, you know, what's the next issue that, you know, what was interesting to me, and I don't want to, you know, we can go into political details, is they had a 20% raise when they struck. You know, people forget that. I was like, okay. But they wanted to see the process. They wanted to go. They wanted to feel it. They wanted to be a part of it. And I understand that, too, because they've probably been promised a lot of things that have not come to fruition. And they now note that that's part of the process. They amend it here. They take it out there. So that raise, you know, 20% or so was said, look, you got it, and then they struck anyways, and they're like, no, you really got it, and you can go home now. And they were like, we're not going home, you know. And then they go, okay, here, we'll pass the damn budget, you know. It's like, here, okay, here it is. It was intriguing from that standpoint.
I think a lot of the individuals listening, I think they may agree with you, Gib, that the teachers got what they wanted, and I think a number of them would disagree. And in full disclosure, Creosote Partners is working on the Invest in Ed initiative. The Red for Ed movement really helped spark that. And a lot of teachers through this process felt lied to. They feel like we're not valuing and respecting them. And furthermore, they don't think that their demands for better funding were met and that the legislature refused to increase revenues. And so now we're in a place where I think on the short-term side, you have a movement behind an initiative. Maybe we'll see an increase in revenue that is a dedicated funding source to education where there just wasn't the political will at the legislature. And then going forward, you might see, I think if this qualifies, you may see candidates running on the idea of increased investments in education. And from there, I think lawmakers are the product of their incentives. So if they feel like they got elected on a movement that values and respects teachers, then they are likely to continue to do so throughout their career as a lawmaker.
So let's look at the election coming up. And you have, obviously, the Invest in Education measure, which supporters are trying to get on the ballot. You have the voucher issue from last year that will stay on the ballot after legislators did not vote to repeal it. Given all of the energy and the momentum that teachers had during those 6 days when they were at the Capitol, how easy or difficult is it to maintain that and, you know, try to get support or opposition either to ballot measures or particular candidates in districts that, you know, may be drawn to favor one party or another?
Yeah, it's increasingly challenging. And I know Gib can add to this. The campaign cycle in Arizona just begun. Right. And I know it had begun in earnest last year, but we have at least one open Senate seat. We have 90 open legislative seats and every statewide office are up. And so you're going to see, in addition to a number of major ballot initiatives, millions, tens of millions of dollars in spending on elections in Arizona. And if you are working on one particular campaign, rising above the fray to get to voters, I mean, that is going to become increasingly challenging as we're getting closer to the August primary and the November general.
So, Gibson, do you think that given all the attention on what happens at the legislature toward the end of the session, does that maybe elevate some of those legislative races on the ballot?
I think certainly. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why these a lot of your legislative races are elevated. I think this is an interesting year for Republicans. I think there's a midterm election, and, you know, and majorities always lose seats. That won't be unusual if that happens this year as well. I think Maryland's absolutely right, is you will have tens of millions of dollars flowing into the state, not to mention the statewide candidates, but you also have a United States Senate seat that's going to be open. So there's a lot of other variables at play here. There's no doubt that the teachers had an effect. There's no doubt that they established a foothold, and it's maintaining that. But when you are talking about that kind of money flowing into a state, I think Marilyn said it correctly, rising above that clutter is very difficult, very difficult.
So I want to ask each of you to look into your crystal balls for a minute. And I'm curious if you think that this movement, the Red for Ed movement, all the teachers that showed up at the Capitol, if we're sitting here next year at this time having a conversation, will that group be as influential and have the kind of power and momentum and impact that they have right now?
You know, I'll go first, but I think there's a very fine line between overplaying your hand. I mean, asking for, you know, another 4.5% in income tax is different than, you know, finding revenue because of growth in the economy. I mean, there are some things that will happen. And will they be influential? Yes. You know, how influential? I think it's a matter of whether they overplay their hand or not.
Yeah, I think crystal balls they don't exist.
Notoriously murky.
Yes. So it really depends on where the economy is at, right? What's going on nationally? What were the election results in November? And, you know, from there, whether teachers are still given a platform or still have to fight for a platform is totally unclear to me. I wish I could give you a better answer than that. I really hope that the answer is yes, they'll have some organizing and political power. We know that movements aren't built overnight, and I hope that this is something that continues. But they're teachers. They have a whole other, more than full-time job. So continuing this movement is going to take a lot of investment, and I'm really glad to see that it's happening. I hope it continues, and I hope it grows. But that doesn't happen on its own.
All right. That's Marilyn Rodriguez with Creosote Partners and Gibson McKay with Sherpa Public Affairs. Guys, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you.